And good morning, or whenever I put this up, because this morning I'm not going live onto Periscope. And the reason is partly because I kind of messed up and my phone did something weird and I used up my entire month's data package 10 days before the end of the month, and I'm too cheap to spring for some more. And also because I'm going to put this video directly onto 3speak.online, which is a site built by some friends that I've met in the Steam community. Steam is this online, almost a blogging platform, but it's much more. It's a cryptocurrency and it's a blockchain-based blogging system. And I've been backing up all my content from brianoflondon.me onto Steam, which is a good thing because brianoflondon.me is actually down at the moment because my hosting company, well, I possibly did something wrong. I tried to upgrade something and that failed, and they're having big trouble with there's a big problem in the world of hosting at the moment with a mail vulnerability. Anyway, my site is down and a couple of other sites, unfortunately. I hope it will be back up soon. But nevertheless, all my content is actually replicated on Steam. And Steam is a site where, you know, I actually sort of make a tiny little bit of crypto every time someone likes my stuff, if they're on the Steam system. And 3speak.online is a video service that someone has built on top of Steam. The videos are actually hosted outside of the blockchain. You don't really need to know the technology. And they're centralized, but with the availability to decentralize the video hosting, which means that it's a free speech zone. So Tommy Robinson's videos are being put on there, and I'm putting more and more videos on there direct. And that's where this one's going to go. So if you are watching this on YouTube, you will be seeing it late. I will only upload this to YouTube after a few days. I'll probably put it on BitChute as well. Well, this is all to say that this entire demonetization and the clamping down, which all comes about because of two competing reasons. Now, the first reason is the one everybody's talking about, which is where we get into the thing of saying that there's anti-conservative bias and the deplatforming of people, and especially the demonetization. And that is true to an extent, because it's clear that these Silicon Valley companies are being run by ideological lefties, people whose ideology is way to the left. And that, though, isn't the whole story. And to get the whole story, the only place I'm reading and hearing the whole story is when I listen to the No Agenda show, of which I am an executive producer from a year ago. The No Agenda show takes a different approach to this because it looks at the commercials and it looks at the media industry. And what's going on right now is that the New York Times and all of the big media companies, all of the incumbents, NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, and Fox to a certain degree, they've all finally woken up to the fact that almost every dollar that Google and Facebook make used to go to them. Because Google and Facebook only exist as advertising companies. They sell advertising on an unscarce resource, whereas the New York Times used to sell advertising on a scarce resource, which was its pages. The thing is, when it comes to online, and when it comes to, you know, away from print, in the digital world, there's no scarcity anymore. And there's no scarcity because online, there's just endless pages, endless page views, endless videos to monetize. And that changed the model, and the major TV companies just didn't have, they didn't see it coming. And they didn't understand the explosion that there would be once Netflix was making TV shows, and when catch-up was the only way that people watched shows, and they wanted a bit. All of these changes that happened broke their old models, and Google and Facebook are cleaning up. So there's an actual war going on. Now, when you couple that with the fact that most of the mainstream media is ideologically left or far left or progressive, what they're doing is they're attacking people like Crowder, people like Tommy Robinson, people like me. And the the online companies are absolutely, you know, that they're ideologically aligned to get rid of those people, because firstly it's a business decision. They want to keep their advertisers because they want it to be brand safe, and secondly they're ideologically opposed to them. But I can guarantee you this, when they've run out of all the conservatives to chuck off their platforms, the media companies will still keep going and attacking them, and they will start chucking everybody off. And that's why, you know, that's why they're already, you know, LGBTQ whatever content that is friendly, it's too controversial, some of it, so that'll be demonetized. And basically you cannot operate on somebody else's platform and expect to remain as having a business. So Dave Rubin, all of these people who monetize, who think that they ever had a chance, just be thankful that you got a few years of cash out of YouTube, because it's over. So the model that something like ThreeSpeak takes is a direct payment from the audience to the creator, which is really the only one going forward. And that's the model that No Agenda has had all these years, which they call the value for value model. If you value the content that you're seeing, donate something to the creator. On the ThreeSpeak site that you might be watching this on, there's a little button that lets you give speak tokens. You press that, it will take a credit card. Those tokens will be, what happens is your credit card will buy a cryptocurrency. And I know the guys running ThreeSpeak online behind the scenes, I know it's not a scam, that's for sure. And when they transfer the tokens to me, I can then transfer them into, I can keep them as speak tokens, or I can transfer them into Steam, which is another token that's worth something, and I can translate that into Bitcoin. All of this stuff is doable, and it just represents cutting out middlemen. It's sort of much more direct. And this idea that my content is ever going to be brand safe, or Coca-Cola is going to want to run ads against me, or Tommy Robinson. No, that wasn't. It was a mirage for a decade or so. We had the mirage that advertisers would look the other way and just wanted to see clicks, but they don't. And the second to that is the entire, I think the numbers that people see of views on videos on YouTube and especially Facebook are just totally ridiculous. They are totally ridiculous. They're, you know, it might flatter you to think tens of some videos being viewed hundreds of thousands of times, but it comes down to only 2 or 3 seconds of it was looked at before someone scrolled on. It's just a piece of deception to deceive advertisers out of their money, basically. And I think advertisers, people who advertise online and buy advertising online, are becoming a lot wiser to this, which is why the market will shift towards payment for advertising based on results. How many people actually bought a product, not how many looked at an advert. That's meaningless. So I'm going to put this on threespeak.online. When brianoflondon.me is up, it will link from there. The whole point is, and this is what I want to see, is that this centralization of everything on Facebook and YouTube goes away. And we actually realize that, no, one site is, we don't want one site. We don't need one social media to take over from Facebook. We need a plethora of different interest groups and places to find me. I mean, Telegram is a great place. I like Telegram because I can send out instant notifications. So Brian of London Talks, that's my channel on Telegram. Sign up for that. Now, Telegram is coming under attack from Apple, because what Apple have pointed out is that for their app to remain in the App Store, seemingly, if their Telegram app allows you access to any objectionable material, porn or something, that is grounds for removing the app from the App Store. I cannot see how this is sort of, well, I can see how it's legal, but it's totally wrong. For example, you can use the Safari browser on your Apple, this is my iPhone I'm staring at, or Jono's. You can use that to go and look at porn. There is porn on the internet. You know, it's been there from the start, I believe, I'm told. So why should Safari, the browser, be allowed on this iPhone? If Apple really wants to control every, it doesn't make sense. The first channel I've seen that has gone into this category, so what Telegram have, I guess, been forced to do, they've been told, take this make this channel not available on iPhones. It's still available on the Telegram app on my Mac, or on the website on my Mac, or even I can look at it through a browser on my iPhone, but not in the Telegram app on an iPhone, and you can see it on Android. And the first site that I've seen actual documentary evidence that this has happened to is a one guy's channel, and it's white supremacy, Jew hatred, anti-Muslim bigotry. I mean, stuff I don't like, I'm not going to look at, I don't want to see. And if I were in the mood to be offended, it would offend me. But here's the point. I think it's absolutely wrong to censor this stuff. As many of you know, if you've watched a lot of my stuff, I am now a free speech extremist. And that probably brings me on to Katie Hopkins's film, which I went to the premiere of. A small number of us eventually found a room in a municipal building in Jerusalem where Katie could show this film. The film is not... I'll give you my one and only significant criticism of it. Katie uses the phrase white Britons, and I don't think that's necessary. I think she could just say British. And people would know what she means. I don't need the racial epithet. Everything else about the program, which is really, it's about Jews talking about the experience of Islamic anti-Semitism in Europe and why that was a driver for them to move to Israel. And that's it. I know that that is true. We know that that is true. And these are some Jews prepared to say it. And then basically, the message that Katie leaves you with is sort of where's the Israel for the British to go to if they lose their country, which I hope you don't. I counter that by saying I don't think white is the identity that you're looking for. I think really you need to insert an English identity, a Welsh identity, a Scottish identity. I don't think a racial element to that is so desperately needed, because I think you've got, you know, Windrush generation Afro-Caribbeans who are as English as they come, who'll be supporting the England cricket team, and you know, they'll have a feeling for the West Indies team, but they know what it is to be English, and they came to England because it was English, and they came to be English. And the one set of recent immigrants, and even not recent immigrants, in fact there was a comment on the video I put up yesterday or the day before, my video outside the cage, and it was a comment from someone who had lived in the East End and watched the first generation Bangladeshi and Pakistani immigrants come to England, and said they were the nicest people, they weren't wearing headscarves, they were not asserting an Islamic identity, and it was quite clear that they had come to the UK to get away from an Islamic identity. And this is the crying shame, and that by pandering to sort of Islamic sensibilities, what you do is you strengthen Islam in communities that were trying to get away from some of the worst aspects of this Islam thing, and were trying to modernize and were trying to become English or British, you know, trying to have another identity. And what's happened is, as you've allowed Islam to strengthen in the country, this sucks people in, because they don't have, within their own communities, they're even worse equipped to deal with a militant mosque and a militant imam that shows up and starts spewing Wahhabi hatred towards kafir and towards Jews, and to be pro-Palestine, and to come with this message of division and hate. Because really, there is no book I've ever seen. Well, the two worst books for showing division and hate are, of course, Mein Kampf and the Quran. And it's no accident that Winston Churchill, when he wrote about the Quran, when he wrote about Mein Kampf, he called it, here was the new Quran of faith and war. Turgid, verbose, but pregnant with its message. The main thesis of Mein Kampf is simple. And then he lists the main theses of Mein Kampf. This is Winston Churchill. And, you know, man is a fighting animal, and any society that doesn't, you know, isn't militarized will eventually be conquered and die. And people like to be led, and Jews are responsible for everything bad in the world. And that's what you have to tell people and concentrate. This is the thesis of Mein Kampf, which immediately Winston Churchill recognises the new Quran, and the Quran is the same. It starts off with a bit of peace and light for the first few years when he's trying to claim that he was a prophet. But then once he gets rejected, especially by the Jews, and he goes away, forms an army, comes back, and he's a warlord. And that's when the rest of it is all about smash the unbelievers, smite them at their necks, don't let them sow corruption in the world. Sowing corruption is what, you know, every day the daily prayers, the Surah 1, the chapter 1 of the Quran is it's basically a curse. You know, Allah curses those who have gone astray, that's the Jews, because we took what should have been the Quran and falsified it and made the Torah. So their daily prayers curse the Jews who have gone astray. They don't say Jews in it. And then they curse those who have been led astray. That's the Christians. The Christians were led astray because the Christians largely follow the Torah of the Jews, which is, according to the Muslims, a falsification of the Quran that Muhammad wrote down 1400 years later. 1400 years, 700 years after Christ, and up to 2000 years after Jews were busy. So that's what we're guilty of, that. And that's what you've put in your country, and you are now, and this is all the policies. You can keep Islam, but not while you're strengthening the worst aspects of it within your societies. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't have the answers. And that Katie's documentary Homelands is entire, it's not particularly astonishing, and it's Tommy's produced more interesting stuff, I'd say, but thanks to the UK Jews becoming unbelievably keen to censor this and writing incredibly revolting things to any venue that would dare consider having Katie Hopkins. Yes, she said some bad stuff in the past. I limit my language very strongly. It's not that I limit my language. I don't want to compare individual Muslims to animals. That's not a thing I'll ever do. It's just not part of me, because I don't think that way. I see, you know, most Muslims as victims of this Islamic ideology. They don't know what to do with it. So I would never have said some of the stuff that Katie has said, and she got fired for that. And she's been sued and had huge problems for saying injudicious things on Twitter about transgender people. Again, it's like, don't go there. You don't need to do that. I don't have that streak in me. But again, this, to then say that everything that ever comes from her must be wrong, all of it, because of that, that's wrong too. Everybody has ideas. You know, I'm unfortunately not for censoring the neo-Nazis. That's what free speech extremism means. Katie certainly isn't one of those, and she's certainly she is obviously friendly towards Israel for all the right reasons. And this crusade against her by British Jews, the elites of the British Jewry, the dhimmis who think that by doing this they will curry favour with Muslims that one day won't cut their heads off because they were nasty to Katie Hopkins. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Most ridiculous. And I still have not done my big Chernobyl thing. I'm watching it for the second time. I think when I've watched the fifth episode for the second time, then I will do finally my big Chernobyl talk. But that's enough of Brian of London.me. This is Brian of London on 3Speak. If you like my content and you want to chip in, throw me some cryptocurrency or press the little donate some Speak tokens below. It will take a credit card. I think you can pay with PayPal. Yeah, just do it just to know that you bought some crypto and you sent it and you're part of the new generation. And we have to do all of these things to get around the centralization of the internet. We have to break the centralization of the internet, which means using all the alternatives. And yes, I'll be on BitChute too. And eventually, I will upload this to YouTube days late so that they can see what they missed on YouTube. But if you're still on YouTube, start looking at 3speak.online and BitChute. Links below, and hopefully my Brian of London.me site will be back up by then. Once again, it's Brian in the forest in Tel Aviv. It's a stonkingly hot day, and Shabbat Shalom to the Jews, and have a great weekend, everybody else. Bye-bye.